Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rich Galen is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Rich is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is a political operative of the Republican persuasion. And the interest of full disclosure, he's a publisher of Mullings.com. I also happen to know he's the writer over there and the senior editor. And I don't think he's the accountant anymore. I think he's got somebody helping him with that. But he also, I know he does clean up on Saturday nights over there. So he's our good friend. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. I'm still the bookkeeper, though.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
It's good to have you back. And I was telling the audience earlier when I told you that you were of the Republican persuasion that I do also have members of my brain trust who are political operatives of the Democrat persuasion.
Right.
And I'm the mugwump in the middle, just kind of trying to hold everything together.
That's right. You just hanging on the horses pulling in two different directions.
Exactly. Okay, Rich, I want to talk about a couple of three things today. I want to talk about the American presidential situation, the upcoming 08 election. But before we do that, we have some news from across the pond. What's the news?
Well, the news is that France held its presidential election yesterday. And their system, of course, is somewhat different than ours. But they do have a president who is the chief of the head of state. And the president generally chooses a prime minister. And then they have a parliament, which may or may not, you know, give him enough votes to put things through. So it's a little different than ours. But the net result of yesterday's, the elections is the conservative in the race won handily over the socialist in the race. And I don't use socialist as a pejorative term. That is the name of her party.
They're proud of that, aren't they?
They were very proud of it. And this is the third straight time the socialists have lost. Early on, it was...
Remind us what party Chirac is in.
Chirac is also in the Conservative Party.
Okay.
But he is held in, as we say, minimum high regard by...
Muslims. He hasn't acted like a conservative, has he?
Well, he's acted like a conservative. He hasn't acted like an internationalist at all. He's really more of a Gaullist almost than a kind of a classic.
Right.
European. And some of these terms are slightly different in usage in Europe than they are here, but socialists are still socialists. And France, of course, as most Americans know, you know, even if you don't know much about it, you know that they have a 35-hour work week and they take August off and they go on strike about every week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there, and so the net result is that their economy is in the dumper. And one of the
and has been for years,
for a long time. And one of the things that the overnight newspapers, at least the English language newspapers, are saying about why the conservative won is because he promised. This is interesting. He promised to get unemployment down from 8.3% to under 5% by 2012.
Hmm.
Now, just to remind everybody, unemployment in America ticked up 0.1% from 4.4% to 4.5% in the numbers last Friday. Can you imagine if last fall unemployment in the U.S. had been at 8.3%, Republicans
right.
would have lost 150 seats in the House.
Well, and of course, Rich, as you well know, you're talking to the folks out there in my audience who are responsible for most of that almost record unemployment we have right now.
That's right. I mean, that's exactly right. And as long as the Fed sort of doesn't decide that it needs to, you know, it needs to go off the edge of the cliff to try to control imaginary inflation and allows liquidity to remain so that we in the small business world, when we do need to go to the bank or go to some whatever it is to expand our businesses, have access to either the capital or the loan money, that will keep up. And I think that if nothing else, that the tax structure in the U.S., again, another difference, tax structure in the U.S., what's the high here, 40%, I think, or something?
Yeah, 38.
In France, it's 60. And
mm-hmm.
the new guy says he's going to drop that to 50%. So it's really interesting that in the heart of the EU, that the very, very social, labor conscious, really, French people. Over 85% of the people voted. I mean, it's an enormous turnout.
That is a big turnout.
He won 54 to 46. So.
Well, you know, Rich, I remember about 2 years ago, Chirac was going to turn the economy around, and he was talking about all these things he was going to do. But I remember this one thing he said. He said, but don't worry, we're not going to have, we're not going to be capitalists in the American sense. It's not going to be an economy like America's economy. And at that time, our economy was doing about four and a half GDP a year. We had, we were creating like 1.6 million new jobs a year, and was on a string of creating job that many jobs a year. And you know, it was the sky was a limit back a couple of years ago in the United States. But we don't want anything that looks like that.
Because that's why I said Chirac was more of a Gaullist. I mean, he really saw himself as, you know, literally the heir to the king of France, which most of us did not agree with.
Well, you know, Rich, the thing that I have two major bones with the French. One was 86. They wouldn't let our F-111s fly over their country. And I'm convinced that we lost two of our flyers when we bombed Libya. I'm convinced that two of our flyers, because they had to refuel. All those guys had to refuel like two extra times to fly around the tip of Spain. And I'm still angry about that with them. I'm not going to get over that. The other thing is I'm convinced that we wouldn't be in Iraq right now if the French had gone along with us in making Iraq live up to what was it, 1441,
right.
UN 1441, I think it was, back in 02.
Yeah, and there was back at the time. Now the noise level is so high about George Tenet and everything else in the U.S. that you can't have a conversation about this. But remember, the French have had long associations with Saddam, both on the oil front and on on the nuclear front, so there was some reason to believe that they were acting in their own, you know, really kind of selfish interests as opposed to the interests of the world.
How many months and how many times did President George Bush go back to the UN and beg the UN and France, essentially by extension, to please make Iraq comply with 1441.
Well, what Saddam did, or dozens of times, that's overstating it somewhat, but not by much. But what Saddam would do, remember, is that he would say no, 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 and literally 12 hours before the deadline, he would let some inspectors into a school,
right,
or something, and the French would say, see, he's helping.
With the conservative Merkel in Germany, a pro-American in Germany, and now the new guy tell me his name again, France.
Sarkozy,
the new guy in France. Maybe things are going to change a little bit. Maybe, and we'll talk about this, and we're going to get into some presidential politics right after this break. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget that we have the brand new capability for you to be able to download and podcast every one of our archives, all the way back to the original ones, including the new ones. So check it out. Not only can you stream them in MP3 form in any MP3 player you have on your computer, but you can also download them directly into your iTunes and also into any other recording device you have on your computer. So check it out. Use it to your advantage. And also don't forget our new website, the knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. So check those two out when you get a chance. Rich Galen is our guest. He's our good friend and the publisher and the editor-in-chief of the outstanding cyber column, Mullings.com. That's thrice weekly. He writes a column about politics nationally and also globally. It's a very interesting, entertaining publication. And if you're of the Republican persuasion, you got to have this. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what Rich is up to. Rich, I want to talk about, and by the way, the your column this week, Rich, or this morning, I should say, today is about the French election, right?
Right, correct.
And we were talking about I said something as we went to the break. Why is the German election, which was a more pro-American Merkel, the lady Merkel, who's in charge over there now, and now we've got. Exactly. Now we've got the new guy who's more pro-American in France. Do you see this? Is this a sea change, Rich?
Well, I think what's happened here is that the EU, the entire European Union, which, by the way, Barack Obama thought was a country.
Are you serious?
When the question was, who are our best three allies, at first he said, the EU, NATO, and he just couldn't think of a whole country in Europe at the time. But the EU has not performed economically nearly where it thought it should be. I mean, it's almost the equivalent of, a merger between, Daimler and Chrysler. I mean, Chrysler just never performed the way they were supposed to. And so it appears to me that on a broad economic scale, that Europeans understand that they are operating in a not necessarily declining economy, but an economy that is simply not growing. And when you look at the GDP,
it's just not working, Rich.
Yeah, because you can't have the low levels of productivity because of 35-hour work weeks and I mean the French laws require if I had a job and I got fired, they'd give me either severance, according to some employment contract, or 2 weeks or something, and they'd send me on my way. In France, you are on the hook for something like 6 or 8 months.
Yeah,
of full pay and benefits to somebody just to get rid of them.
It's the kind of an economy only Ted Kennedy could love.
I was going to say it's like having an entire economy of civil servants, and you can't get rid of them. And so what happens is that it's a little bit like overeating. If you overeat just a little bit every day, sooner or later, you realize you gain 10 pounds. If these drags on productivity, it doesn't have to be gigantic, but it's a little bit in every segment of every economy every day, and sooner or later it just drags it down.
Well, and I'll tell you what, small business owners in America, you wouldn't like being a small business owner in France.
Mm-mm.
In fact, there are not too many places in Europe other than maybe Ireland. Other than that, and some of the Western, some of the Eastern European countries are pretty entrepreneurial now, but in a lot of Europe, you would not like being a small business owner. In fact, you probably wouldn't be a small business owner. You probably wouldn't be able to. And so hopefully things are going to turn around. I like this direction. This is a huge direction for capitalism. I think a huge a blow, hopefully.
Yeah, for market economists.
The new person in France. Rich, I want to change horses and talk about the two debates. Now, did you watch the both debates, Democrats and Republicans?
I did, from top to bottom.
God bless you. So what do you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, I mean, it was spring training. You can't have 8 people in the Democratic debate and 10 people in the Republican debate and actually try to get any information out. So the leaders, the 6 front runners, all kind of talked in press release speak. I mean, these are the phrases that they use in their stump speeches every day and in their town meetings every day. So there was no new ground there. I thought of the second-tier candidates, I thought Bill Richardson, the Democratic governor of New Hampshire, did a very good job in terms of the way he presented himself.
You mean New Mexico?
New Mexico. What did I say? Arizona?
Yeah. New Hampshire.
New Mexico. Yeah. Yeah, New Mexico. I'm sorry. And on the Republican side, I thought former Governor Huckabee of Arkansas came close, not quite as crisply as Richardson did. But as I was telling some reporter the other day, it's hard for me to put myself in the place of a Democratic primary voter. So I suspect I'm looking for something different than a typical Democratic primary voter. But what will happen here, I think, as we move through not through the spring, but certainly through the summer, that some of these candidates will just drop out because they can't afford it anymore. The rules will change that you have to have a certain level of support.
But as we saw, Rich, with Dean 4 years ago, and as we saw with Bill Clinton 16 years ago, you can't really say that the lower tier 8 in the group of 8, should drop out. I mean, who knows what could open up?
Yeah, but Clinton was never Dennis Kucinich.
No, I agree with you. Look at where Kerry was after, before Dean imploded. You never know who's going to trip and what could open up. Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break. We got a little more to talk about with Rich Galen right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Jim Blasingame. He's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad you're continuing to be with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And I know you know what I'm talking about because you've been listening to Rich Galen. Rich, your website, how old is Mullings.com?
It started in 98, so March of 98, so it's
all right.
A little over 9 years old.
Thrice weekly. That
yeah,
means three.
You know, it went through the dot-com boom and bust, and because I wasn't smart enough to understand how to make it into a gigantic company in 2000, I was the only employee, and I'm still the only employee, but I didn't lose a dime.
And you haven't gotten fired either, though, have you?
I haven't gotten fired either. By the way, I just want to tell you, your listeners, that in fact I just Googled small business expert, and lo and behold, there's the first crack out of the box. Small business
so
advocate.
So you didn't believe me. You don't believe me.
No, I'm thrilled to see it. I think it's great.
I appreciate it. Rich, quickly, I want to cover a couple of other things, but before we leave the U.S. presidential thing, I still think that you know, Kucinich is never going to be nominated, but I do think some of the other guys in the second and third tier in both parties should kind of hang on, and you know, I was thinking about, you know, that we had the run for the roses on Saturday, the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm. Street
Smart. The horse who runs, Street Smart, was 19th in that race at one time.
Right.
He was 19th, and they showed the, you know, the replay, and how the horses just kind of opened up and fell away, and he had a strategy, and he stayed on the rail, and all of a sudden the thing opened up, and he wound up shooting through and winning. I mean,
well,
I think that's the kind of thing that could happen.
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, the notion that the leaders in both parties, Mrs. Clinton and the Democrats, and Mayor Giuliani and on the Republicans, are both either in the high 20s or low 30s in terms of public support of their party, means that something on the order of 70% of Republicans are looking for somebody other than Giuliani, 70% of Democrats are looking for someone other than Hillary Clinton, and you know, how do you? You're exactly right. You don't know that if you're Mike Huckabee or Bill Richardson, that it's not going to be you. Absolutely correct.
Well, I still say it's not going to be Hillary, and it's not going and the nominee, or at least the leader, at the end of in the fourth quarter of 2007, I still say is going to be Romney. Now, Rich, I want to change horses just a little bit and talk about some business. Recently, it's come to my attention through some reading that I've done that President Uribe of Colombia. Has been being sort of dissed by the Senate and the congressional Democrats, I should say, and also Al Gore. Al Gore basically snubbed Uribe by refusing to be on a stage with him about a week and a half ago, and it's all over. Basically, Colombia wants to have a free trade agreement with the United States, as other countries in South America have, and this is good for the economy. This is good, you know, Rich. I'll remind you of something I like to say that Frederick Bastiat said in the mid-1800s, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And Uribe, in my opinion, is one of the bravest men on planet Earth. To be pro-American in Colombia, I mean, that's got to take some courage, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you remember, I mean, the phrase Colombia drug cartels just sort of rolled off our lips there for a long time, and that's apparently under control. There's a couple of things. One, that the whole business of free trade agreements were easier to get done when Republicans controlled Congress, even though the Democrats did have a lot of say in labor laws that they wanted changed in the non-U.S. countries, and got them done. And sometimes for the better, sometimes they were just being cranky. But moreover, remember when this administration started, when the Bush administration started, he had been the governor of Texas and really had it in mind that he was going to spend his administration rebuilding and reinforcing a pan-American economy, that he was really going to turn South and Southwest into Central and South America and work mm-hmm. closely with those countries. Then came 9/11, and everything changed. But I believe that was really kind of the basic vision that George W. Bush had when he was coming into office, was to do that, and he never got to get it done because.
Well, he's made some progress, but there needs to be more progress. And folks, when you're looking for, when you're talking about who's really trying to make friends around the world. You know, you make friends in this day and age by trading with other countries. So when you see people who are trying to prevent the trade agreements, maybe they're the ones who are not trying to make friends and make nice around the world. Hey, Rich Galen, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, sir.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget Mullings.com, MULLINGS.com. Check it out. Subscribe. You'll get it 3 times a week. Quick break. 20 till. Right back with our good buddy Chester Elton.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.